Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, Path family. So grateful to be here with you all this morning just to share a few of the things God placed on my heart this week. But before we get into the word, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you for the opportunity you give us to gather together, even virtually. God, I pray for everything that I say today that it'll be what you want me to say, and I don't say anything you don't want me to say. God, it's not easy to navigate these times, these challenges. But Father, I pray that you give us the wisdom, the strength, and the resolve to do exactly what you call us to do. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue our series in sickness and in health, we've been talking about how important it is for us to be resilient in our faith, to stay close to God, and to be able to be built to last as we take a vow to walk with God, even in sickness and in health. The truth is, for me in this time, at this very moment, I gotta confess, it's challenging. While we deal with the implications of the very real disease that is COVID-19, as more and more people around us are being impacted and affected, we're also faced with video reminders that even in this country, to be Black is dangerous. And so we also recognize that we're fighting this insidious disease of racism. I feel the words of Habakkuk. I feel like they're all too real when he says in chapter 1, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you don't come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence, and I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight." Tell me that's not what we see even now. The law has become paralyzed, and there's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. You would think that that wasn't written almost 2,000 years ago. You would think that that was written right now in 2020, in the 21st century. And so very much like you may be feeling, I felt frustrated, I felt angry, I felt sad, and I felt winded. And God is asking me and you the same question. Will you stick with me in sickness and in health? As I wrestled with this question, I was reminded that my walk with him is very much like marriage, and sometimes I need to be reminded of my why. For me, my why makes all of the difference. In any relationship, the trials of life will come. Challenges and daily frustrations can cause distance. But when I think about my marriage to my beautiful wife, Taylor, I'm reminded of my why. A couple weeks ago, I was looking for something, and I found my flash drive, and on that flash drive was my wedding album. That wedding album had one of my favorite pictures in it of my wife. A day when I would see her as this beautiful, radiant bride, as she looked over her shoulder to smile. And as I gazed at her beauty, I was reminded of the reality that I wouldn't know the tests and trials that would come in these 7 years of marriage. I wouldn't know that the vows that I took on that day when I stood there on November 9, 2013, that we would have to be tested. The vows would be questioned and tested. And yet, I had to be reminded that I have to keep the eyes on the prize. And that's the title of my message today, Eyes on the Prize. Let's go to the Word of God and let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And ordinarily, I say, if you're there, say there. If you're not there, say hold up. But how about this? In the comment section, go ahead and give me a thumbs up. And if you need me to take a little time, I'm going to wait 1 second. That's it. I'm going. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Verse 3 says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. In the outset of chapter 12, the writer of Hebrew brings us into the narrative already telling us to look back. Because it says, therefore. And when I see therefore in the Bible, I have to say, what is this there for? And so I look back, and in chapter 11 is a list of all of these people throughout the scriptures, throughout the narrative of the Bible, who had to endure. They had to endure hardship. They had to endure persecution. They had to endure till the very end. And they had to have faith. That's why we have come to understand this passage, this grouping of people in Hebrews 11 as the Hall of Faith, kind of like the Hall of Fame. And we see that these are things that we should strive for. They were warriors. They were servants. They were prophets. They were leaders, and they were people who had to go through all of these things. And yet we have an opportunity to endure because we get to look to the prize, Jesus. But who is Jesus? According to the scripture, he is the champion and initiator of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith. But before we look to Jesus, this passage tells us to strip off every weight that slows us down. This passage gives us racing marathon language. And if you know anything about racing, let me tell you something. Marathons, you gotta be prepared. 26.2 miles. You know, the brothers right now, there's a few brothers that are training for a marathon. I'm not one of them. I'm training for a 5K. 3 miles. You're gonna get those three out of me, and I will be in the cloud of witnesses cheering them on for the other 23. But something about a marathon that strikes me is that you have to have a particular checklist. In this checklist, you have to make sure you have the right shoes. Do you have them tied? Are they tied correctly? Do you have the right clothing? Is there anything weighing you down? Do you have the goal in mind? Did you stretch adequately so that halfway through the race, you're not hurt? You're not taken out of the race? And the list goes on. But if you don't prepare, you'll get caught slipping and end up lacking. And that's not just true in the case of a physical race, in the case of a physical marathon. That is true in our spiritual lives. Our Christian journey is a marathon. And this passage teaches us that we still have a particular checklist. Do you have on the right shoes? Are your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel? Do we have on the right clothing? The full armor of God, Ephesians 6, tells us to have the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Do you have anything weighing you down? This passage tells us to take anything that strips us, take it off, strip it off, anything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles. When I think about this time in quarantine, this time where we're trying to figure out how to navigate COVID-19, it's revealed so much sin in our hearts. It's revealed so much sin in my heart. I've had situations where I realized the idleness is not good. And I'm sure that's been the case for you as well. You've seen what you're really like when you're not as busy as you once were. And even now, in light of these situations that have come to bear, where brothers and sisters of color are being murdered, there are things coming up in all of our hearts. To my white brothers and sisters who are watching, do you recognize when the weight of racism is weighing you down? When your prejudice is not allowing you to see the humanity in these men and women who are being taken, their lives are being taken on camera? To my black and brown brothers and sisters, are you allowing the weight of bitterness, rage, anger, hatred to rule your hearts? Are you allowing these things to slow you down in the race? This scripture reminds us in a sobering way, if we're going to make it, we have to be unwavering in our commitment to the goal and to keep our eyes on the prize. What's the prize? The prize is Jesus. To one day be co-heirs with Jesus, the Son of God. But who is Jesus? Jesus is the incarnate Word. He's the one for him, whom, through whom, and in whom all things are made. He's the one who saw the suffering, the depravity, the ugliness of humanity and said, I'm not just going to watch them suffer. I'm not just going to see them. I'm going to choose to insert myself into their ugliness, into their depravity, into their frustration, and become like them, so that one day they too can be with me. If you don't see a narrative of love, compassion, and justice, I want to implore you to look closely, because the same Jesus that the scripture points to is the same Jesus we're to emulate. It's the same Jesus we're supposed to follow, to put our movements of our feet with our faith by entering depraved situations with our hearts of compassion and zeal for what's right. But then this passage closes and it says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you will not grow weary and give up. Man, I don't know about you, but anybody who's walked with God for any amount of time has probably thought about giving up. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about giving up. And what Satan does is he wants to make you think that Jesus is an unnecessary component. He wants to revise your history and make you think that the life you lived outside of God's will was much better than living in his will. He wants to think that if you step outside of God's will, then you'll have all the tools for justice. You'll have all the tools to be made right. You'll have all the tools to fix whatever things that are broken. But that's not true. That's why we have Jesus. And he even will try, Satan will try to make it seem like all the answers are rooted in your bitterness, in your hatred, and in your anger, when we see things wrong in the world around us. Yet we have a Savior who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Jesus came on a mission to spare no expense in entering the darkness and being the absolute light. He took the lowest possible position by being hung on the cross, embarrassed, stripped, humiliated, beaten, bloodied, and bruised beyond recognition at the hands of the establishment, wrongly accused, unjustly tried, and brutally executed. But had he not gone through that, we wouldn't have an opportunity to even be co-heirs. We wouldn't have an opportunity to be able to access God. And so, he realized he had to keep his eyes on the prize. The joy of sitting at the right hand of the Father, the joy of being the atonement for our sins. And I implore you to keep your eyes on the prize. If you're watching and you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you're trying to figure out why you should follow Jesus in a time like this, my question is, without you yourself being justified with God, are you really in a position to administer justice? Do you want to know a God who is willing to guide you through the hurt, the pain, and frustration that he knows you feel? Lean into that God. If you're watching this and you're a follower of Jesus and your faith is wavering, I want you to ask yourself, do you have the right shoes to keep running this race? Do you have the right clothing, the full armor of God, including the belt of truth? Are you allowing the belt of truth to guide you? Is there anything weighing you down? Because I'm reminded in this time of an old poem that I once learned called Don't Quit. It says, when things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure comes about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell just how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Even in the scriptures, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, it says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Eyes on the prize, the glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. My encouragement to you is keep your eyes on the prize. In the last couple of weeks, I've leveraged my relationships along with a couple of other brothers with our white counterparts, who are willing to act from their privileged positions to impact policy, sound the alarm for their white pastor counterparts, and to create entire university curriculum to address the issues and systems that create the atrocities around us. While I understand that that's not the totality of the answer, I'm confident that God is using me in these relationships and using other brothers around me in these relationships as we work to see God's kingdom vision on earth as it is in heaven. In our walks with God, with the craziness around us, remember, though we may be tired, we are not hopeless. Keep your eyes on the prize and don't quit. And so in this moment, I want to pray for our communion. And as you take communion in your homes, I want you to think about what it means to keep your eyes on the prize as you walk with God in sickness and in health. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we don't know what to say all the time. And so God, we're grateful that because of your spirit can help us in our weakness. Your spirit can lead us in the direction we should go. Your spirit intercedes for us when we have nothing but groans and cries. God, I know I've cried, and I know so many others have cried. And yet, Father, I pray that we can lean into Jesus, who also cried. Jesus, who was victorious against death, so that we too can be victorious. Help us to lean in and to glorify you while doing the work that you call us to do. We love you and just pray that we can be reminded of that sacrifice for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.